God is good. Did you enjoy that story from Phil? Or should we call him Philip? Because he likes that. And wasn't that awesome, you know, what happened to Harold? 5 years in a wheelchair and then God just speaks and meets him. Does anyone know they've been healed tonight? You feel the pain's gone or you feel you've been healed tonight? Anyone know they've been healed? Give us a little wave if you think you have been. If you're in faith that you've been... I'm not going to get you up, actually, so you don't have to be worried. But if you think you've been healed tonight, just give us a little wave and let's see how many people feel as though God's touched them and met them. That's great. Wonderful. Lord, we just want to thank you so much. And tonight is about the Holy Spirit. This weekend's about being encountering God, encountering the Father's love the first night, encountering Jesus and forgiveness and the cross in particular last night. And then tonight is about encountering God in the person of the Holy Spirit. And what would we do without the Holy Spirit? Not much. Nothing. We'd be nowhere. Everything that happens is through his power and help and operation. It's the Holy Spirit who draws you to Jesus in the first place. It's the Holy Spirit who causes us to be born again, born of the Spirit, born of God, makes us sons and daughters of God. It's the Holy Spirit who brings the reality of the Father's love into our hearts, and he's the one who helps us begin to become Christians. And God fills us with his power. Christianity is powerful, isn't it? It's power. That's the difference between religion and Christianity. It's power. Let me read you what John the Baptist said. John the Baptist was as good as religion gets. Religion doesn't get any better than John the Baptist. Jesus said that himself. Before the kingdom came with Jesus, Jesus said of John the Baptist, "No one greater has ever been born of woman." That's a pretty high commendation, isn't it? From Jesus. According to Jesus, the greatest man that ever lived was his cousin, John the Baptist. He said, "No one is greater than this man." The only reason John doesn't look so big in our eyes is because he stood next to Jesus. If he was stood anywhere else in the Old Testament, you'd see how great John was. No prophet had the success John had. No prophet had the whole country out publicly repenting. It was an awesome thing. Thousands and thousands of people queuing up to be baptized, wanting to get right with God. It's unbelievably dramatic. John was a bright light, but the brightest light disappears when it stood next to the sun. And Jesus stood right next to John. That's why John doesn't look so big in our eyes. But Jesus said, oh, he was big. The greatest man ever born. But John knew there was something else. There was something more. There was something better coming. As great as the revival that he saw, and it was a tremendous revival. You know, people queuing up publicly in that river, standing and publicly confessing the sins. Can you imagine it? Thousands of people all queuing up, all desperate to get right with God under John's powerful preaching of repentance, and people were cut to the heart and getting in that water and publicly. I mean, it's a massive thing, isn't it? Oh, I'm a prostitute, I've been immoral, I don't want to get right with God. Can I be forgiven? You can be, love, yes. Boosh! Next! I'm a tax collector and I've been ripping people off all my life. I'm a criminal. I'm sick of myself. Will God ever forgive me? Yes, he will forgive you. Boosh! Next! And then one day, the next person in the queue was Jesus. And John stops and says, "You do me. You baptize me. I need to be baptized by you." Why did he do that? He did that. We know clearly why he did that. He did that because John knew that he only baptized in water. But the one coming after me, he says, is more powerful than I. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. John got hold of people and dunked them in the waters of the Jordan. But Jesus gets hold of you and immerses you in the Holy Spirit of God and with fire. And when that happens, you are never the same again. You are changed. You are filled with fire. Phil was right. It's a wonderful thing to be forgiven, but it's not enough. Because you'll go back again. You go back again. You can't help it. That's what religion is, isn't it? That's the best that religion is. Religion works like this. I go to church, say I'm sorry for my sins, come out and do them again. And then I go back and I confess my sins and I'm sorry for my sins and receive forgiveness for my sins. And then I go back and I do them again. John said there's something more powerful than that. Something more powerful than that. John said, I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I'm not fit to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire. There's a difference between Christianity and religion, and it's power. Jesus breaks the chains of sin through his Holy Spirit and through fire. He does. Christianity is powerful. Powerful. We all sin, and Jesus said, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. But if the Son sets you free, you will be free. If Jesus sets you free, you can live free from sin. You can be forgiven. You can go to heaven. But more, you can live a life of victory. But only with the Holy Spirit. Only through his help and power. Not through your own. Who would like this tonight? Who would like all chains gone? Who would like to live free from sin? Victory over sin? Christianity is powerful. Jesus is powerful. You know, we've got some awesome friends of ours here tonight, Neelima and their two children from India. And I'm good pals with Neelima's husband, Prem, and I knew Prem's dad, John Babu from Hyderabad, and they understand all about power because they live in the power of the Holy Spirit all the time. When Neelima's father-in-law, John, came to Christ, he was a policeman in Hyderabad, and he had a drink problem, and he was dying. And he was a Hindu and went to all the Hindu temples. And this is what religion is, isn't it? Just have a different name, a different nation. He went to all the Hindu temples and cried out to all the gods in India. And he said, is there anyone who'll heal me? I mean, 3 million gods, you'd think there might be one, wouldn't you? Is there anyone up there who'll heal me? And Jesus, our Jesus, spoke to John, didn't he, Neil? And said, I am Jesus Christ. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. You repent and follow me, and I'll heal you. And John had an encounter with Jesus there in a Hindu temple. Jesus isn't bothered. Doesn't frighten him. And he comes outside and sits in the pavement, and God's still speaking to him. And he said, what will happen if I don't repent? And he said, and Jesus was honest with him. He said, you'll go to hell. And it's a good job that John did repent, because he planted about 500 churches in Andhra Pradesh. We've got an awesome work there today. And John was a straight talker with people. He understood that people had to choose between heaven and hell, between life and death. I remember one story Prem told me about his dad, where a Hindu guy came to him and said, I want to go to heaven. And John said, well, receive Jesus and you'll go to heaven. He said, oh, I don't want to receive Jesus. He said, then go to hell. He said, I don't want to go to hell. I want to go to heaven. He said, well, receive Jesus. Then you go to heaven. He said, oh, I don't want to receive Jesus. He said, then you'll go to hell. Look, it's very simple. Is my accent good? And it's very simple. That sounds like between Irish, Welsh and Indian, isn't it? He said, it's very simple. Receive Jesus, you go to heaven. Reject Jesus, you go to hell. We don't like being that straight in this country, but it's the truth. It's the truth. It's a choice. It's a decision. There's only one way into the kingdom of God, and that's Jesus Christ. There's only one way to the Father, that's Jesus. There's only one way to heaven, that's Jesus. And Christianity is powerful. One girl in our church was telling me the other week that she went to, her works due were having a going out to a nightclub. She didn't really want to go. And her dad said, well, just go and be with the people from work. So she went and she didn't really want to be there. And she stood in this nightclub and she sees a friend from school. And the friend comes over and it was Serafina. And she says, oh, Serafina, you were always different in school. There was something about you. I always wanted to be like you, Serafina. What was it? What is it that's so different about you? And in a moment when she just had the right words to say, on the dance floor, in a nightclub, she said, oh, the only difference between me and you is that I'm forgiven. She said, what do you mean? She said, I've been forgiven by Jesus for all my sins. What a wonderful thing to say. Not I'm a Christian and you're not. Not, but I've been forgiven. And this lass on the dance floor said, that's awesome. Can I be forgiven? She said, absolutely you can. This is in a nightclub. She said, can I be forgiven now? She said, absolutely you can. She prayed for this lass on the dance floor of the nightclub for sins to be forgiven through Jesus Christ. The next week, this lass was at Alpha with her. This lass did the whole of Alpha. She's called Helen. She gave her life to Jesus, filled with the Holy Spirit, and now the two of them have brought another friend on the next Alpha. It's awesome, isn't it? It's powerful. Christianity is powerful. It's something happens to you. It's power. God has power for you tonight. Power to set you free. One day, me, Stu, and Graham were doing this Alpha, not this Alpha, this Just Looking course in Spring Harvest. There's about 50 people there. It's for people who were dragged along by the spouses who were Christians. They don't want to be there. They hate being with thousands of Christians for the week in Skegness. Can you imagine? God bless them, poor people. So we stick posters up all over the site saying, if you hate the meetings and don't want to be here, we want to talk to you in the pottery studio. Every year we get about 30 people. There was 30 people exactly, actually, that year. I know, because we had 10 each in our groups. Graham had 10, Stu had 10, I had 10. I sat down in my group the first day. We had 4 days. This guy starts talking. He says, before you say anything, I just want you to know I'm educated. I thought, I'm in trouble now. I did. He said, I've done a philosophy degree. I'm a social worker. I'm all this, some, the other. I know, you can't tell me there's such a thing as free will. I'm an atheist. I'm a Marxist. The only reason I'm here is because my wife's a Christian. He said, I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for her. And again, must have been the help of the Holy Spirit to have the right thing to say. I said, and he was dominating the group, you know. And after he said that, I said, well, well done for being a good husband. He said, what are you saying? What are you talking about? So, well, there's not many Marxist atheist husbands who come to a Christian week just out of love for the wife. He said, I do love my wife. Yeah, I do love my wife. I said, well, good for you. And he sort of warmed up a little bit. That was day one. Day two. But we talked about Jesus that day and we talked about the cross. And it's supernatural, isn't it? It's supernatural. It gets under your skin. It's like that spell that Phil talked about. Couldn't get out of his mind. This bloke turns up day two, sitting in the group. He says, I've been up all night. I've been talking to my wife and her relatives. I've realised I'm not an atheist. I'm an agnostic. I thought, that's not bad for one day, is it? You know, an agnostic is someone who's not sure. An atheist is someone who doesn't think there's any God. And that day we were talking about how Christianity is something that happens to you. It's something supernatural. You're born of the Spirit. And he said, I don't believe in anything supernatural. I'm a rational man. I'm a rational man. And I said, well, do you know what? There is a spiritual side to life, Neil. I said, and if, you know, you've got all the lights on in your intellectual room, but there's another room in your life, and that's spiritual. If you keep going to events like this just out of love for your wife, you're going to bump into God one day, have a supernatural encounter with God, and the lights are going to come on in that room. He said, do you think? I said, I do, yeah. That was day two. Day three, he turns up. I mean, this is how powerful Christianity is. This guy turns up. Day three, he says, he doesn't say anything, and he's dominated the group for the first 2 days. So other people in the group said to him, Neil, haven't you got anything to say? He said, I think I'm approaching this from the wrong angle. He said, I think I just need to take more steps of faith. That's day three. Day four, we're finished. So, you know, Stu's done his testimony. Graham's done his testimony. And we're just preaching about the cross. And we said, look, at the end of the day, we can't answer everyone's questions. Some people are really hurt here. For blame God for everything that's ever gone wrong in their life. We can't answer all the questions, but he's the truth. Jesus loves you. He came to save sinners. Is there anyone here who'd like their sins forgiven? If there is, why don't you just put your hand up and say, that's me. Out of the 30 people there, 15 people put their hands up, and the first hand up was Neil. I tried not to look at him. But really, inside I was going, yes! Thank you, Jesus! And the presence of God in the room was powerful. And the 15 stood up and moved away from the others. It was very prophetic, actually, and powerful. They moved across the room, and the presence of God was there, and some of them started to weep and experience that forgiveness that Phil talked about, experience the power of God. We prayed for them all, and then we're like, had 10 minutes left, sort of finished early. I said, oh, I didn't know what to do. So let's go back to our groups. So we went back and sat in our groups. When we sit in our group, there was a couple of people, a lawyer and his son, who also got saved. They were both crying, and Neil was sort of just still. And I said, what do you think, Neil? He said, I'm stunned. I'm stunned. I said, there's a very powerful presence of God in this room. Can you feel that? He said, I can, yeah. I said, your light's on, isn't it, Neil? He said, yeah, it is. He said, I'd like to say something to the group. I said, well, it's an open forum. You can say what you like. He said, I'd like to confess something. I said, that's up to you. He said, I'm a porn addict. He said, I've been a pornography addict all my life. And it's even led me to commit adultery. And against my wife. So I've got a beautiful Christian wife out there, and she doesn't know anything. But when we prayed then, I know I'm forgiven and I'm free. He said, it's gone. The torment's gone out my head. It's gone. He said, I'm going to go now and tell my wife everything, confess everything to her. He said, will you pray for me? We said, you know, we sure will. And, you know, it's a big thing, isn't it? Terrible thing. And he went, and he went out for lunchtime. And then after lunch, we have this group called Just Starting, for those who were just starting. And so the 15 came back, and Neil came back. He walked in, and some of the people in our group said, Neil, how did it go? Did you talk to your wife? He said, yeah, I went for a walk with her on the beach, and I told her everything. And we said, what happened? He said, well, she's stunned as well. She's stunned because she's, you know, she's obviously hurt. But also she's relieved because she knew there was something wrong. And she's also relieved because she can see that I've met Jesus Christ. So she's got hope. We prayed for him again, and then we left him. And you know what? That's such serious pain and problems. You've got to wonder how those stories end, don't you? I do. I mean, I hope it just goes on from great to great. But I can't be sure. However, the next year, Spring Harvest, me and Stu, 30 angry people just about to begin. The door bursts open. It's Neil, hand in hand with his wife. Stewie, Marty, how are you doing? Neil, how are you doing? Fantastic. I'm part of a Pentecostal church in Manchester. My life's absolutely transformed. God's healed our marriage. Can I tell my story? I said, you sure can. I said, you lot, this is Neil, just listen. And I let him face the angry people first. And is that awesome? It's God, isn't it? It's God. And you know what? He's gone on and on. And if about 6 months ago, he sent an email to Stuart. He said, guys, would you pray for me? Today, I'm preaching my first message on church on Sunday. Is that all? Christianity is powerful. I'm a Marxist. I'm an atheist. No, actually, you're just a man. You're just a sinner. And Jesus ignores it all and just saves you. Because that's how awesome Jesus is. He is powerful. John the Baptist said, he who comes after me is more powerful than I am. Powerful. He heals people. I could tell you some stories. I'm not going to because you've heard enough healing stories. And he says he will do two things. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. In a moment, we're going to pray. I'm going to give you the opportunity to do what Phil did, to get out of your seat and come and stand down here. And I believe God's going to meet you down here. And he's going to give you a new power and a new strength to live for Jesus and to be on fire for him. I believe these prophetic words. I think God wants to pour out rain, rain, rain. This afternoon I was watching a Waltons on DVD, because we watch a lot of seriously dodgy stuff in our house. Some of you don't know what, Neelima, do you know what the Waltons are? Do they have them in India? No, okay, I'll tell you later. But and the Waltons, and there was this, and it was all about rain. There was this rain and rain, rain, and the house had burnt down. Do you remember when the Waltons' house burnt down? Terrible. I needed ministry after that. Anyway, because I just love the granddad, don't you? Isn't the granddad the best? Anyway, and the Waltons, they were having this thing, and all the kids were sleeping in a tent. And the tent was useless because all the rain was coming down on them. All the rain was coming down on them. I was watching that this afternoon. I just thought, I thought it was prophetic then. And it was. Because even with our tents up and even with our barriers, God's going to get through them. Tonight, I really believe, you're going to feel the rain. There is barriers. There is resistance to God moving in this town, in every town in this country. But God can get through it. The Holy Spirit can get through. We can feel the first big splodges of rain. And Lord, soak us tonight. Father, soak us with your awesome presence. The Holy Spirit is the one who makes the big difference, isn't he? He is. When I first became a Christian, I had no power at all. Just like, well, you don't, do you? I had no power, no resistance to temptation. For me, temptation was like a four-year-old wrestling Arnie Schwarzenegger. It was a done deal. If I was tempted, I just sinned. May as well just bypass the temptation. Save time, Satan. Just, I'm flawed already. But then, we heard about the Holy Spirit. The punk rocker mate of mine, Watty, who got saved with me, he said, I'm going to this meeting at Ampleforth College. It's about the Holy Spirit. There's young people learning guitars and all that. I said, I'm not interested in all that modern rubbish. The church needs to get back to its roots. Didn't realise this was the church's roots, you know. You don't get further back than Pentecost, do you? And he went to this one day on the Holy Spirit and came back transformed. He walked in the John Paul Centre in Middlesbrough. I was having a coffee with Margaret, my girlfriend, who's now my wife. Having a coffee with her at the down the stairs. And he walked in the top of the bookshop. Some of you know the John Paul Centre. And I looked up at him and I could see he'd met God. He was radiant. And he stood at the top step of the John Paul Centre. And I stood up. Before he'd said a word, I said, what's happened to you? And he walked down the steps and he said, I've been filled with the Holy Spirit. And I can speak in tongues. I said, what are you talking about? He said, come in the loos and I'll show you. It was just so awesome and dramatic. He went in the loos, shut the door, and he lifted his hands and prayed in tongues. Never heard anyone speak in tongues. I was absolutely awed and blown away and jealous all at the same time. Jealous and insecure, and God doesn't love me and he loves him and he's met with him. And I knew God hated me and loved everyone else. I knew I was right about that. And all those insecure feelings that I'm sure you've never had. And but I was really jealous, and I could see, he was transformed. Before this, he was the depressed one, and I was like the joker, and keeping him up and keeping him happy. Now our roles had reversed. He was full of life, animated, free, joy, love to pray, love to read the Bible. Me, I was still pushing the Christian car uphill. He jumped in and found the ignition. He was off. He had power. Power. So thank God it wasn't long before me and Margaret got ourselves to Ampleforth. And people like Bob taught us about the Holy Spirit, prayed for us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I tell you, we were just on fire then. We were just on fire. And, you know, there's nothing else, is there? I mean, there's more of the same, but there's nothing new. There's nothing better than that. What God has to give us is the Holy Spirit. If you've been filled with the Holy Spirit, then be filled again. Be more filled. Get more of the same. There's nothing new. There's nothing new coming. Why would we need anything new? We have Jesus. We have the Holy Spirit. We have our Father's love. We just need more of that. And keep receiving from Him and then giving it away. The Holy Spirit is powerful. The baptism of the Holy Spirit. And He says He'll baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And I think John expected a fire of judgment and was shocked by Jesus, really. Because Jesus was full of fire, all right. But it was a fire of love and compassion. It was a fire of forgiveness and mercy. And John had to get over that later in prison. God bless him. He had to realize, John, I'm not coming exactly the way you think I am. I'm coming with fire, all right. But it's the fire of love. That's why Jesus' death on the cross is called the Passion. The church traditionally calls it the Passion of Christ, because on the cross you see how seriously God loves you, how serious God is about saving you, how determined God is to save you. I mean, to say love isn't enough, this is passion. Jesus vehemently wants to save this world. He said, I've got a fire to, you know, I've got a baptism to undergo, and I'm desperate to get it done. This fire of love. Are you filled with love tonight? Are you filled with the fire of God's compassion that motivates you out away from the telly and out of the house and across the world to India and Africa and into Europe and across the street and to the drug addicts and the prostitutes who Jesus loves and to your neighbours who are lost and just watching telly every night like everyone else? Lost. Holy Spirit, we pray tonight that you would come and fill us with fire and send these people out, me included, out. Let's use our days and years. Let's use them. Determined tonight. Hey, if you get serious with God, guess what? You'll get a shock. You'll get serious with you. I'm just a grandma. Or you'll be in Africa before you know it. You will. Seen it happen many times. What can I do? And then they're in India. Or in Kazakhstan. Or in, hey, wherever. You get serious with the Holy Spirit tonight. Because Jesus is full of fire, all right. His eyes are blazing fire. And in those eyes, there's council estates and blocks of flats and nations and families and individuals. Jesus is on fire with love for this world. And He'll fill you with that fire. Do you want it? Do you want this? Those who want it, receive it. Those who are hungry, get fed. We've heard it. Our Father is willing to give. Jesus is the one who baptizes in the Holy Spirit. Not me. No, I want to be baptized again tonight myself. I'm going to call you to the front and I'm going to be here with you. Jesus will meet us tonight. Jesus will. And this ends with a warning, as so many teachings in Scripture do. John said, His winnowing fork is in His hand and He'll clear His floor. He'll clear His threshing floor. He'll gather the wheat into His barn and He'll burn the chaff with unquenchable fire. Jesus will come to judge. You will stand before God and give account for your life, every one of you. You will. If you're not a Christian, you'll give account for everything you've ever done and ever said, never thought. If you're a Christian, guess what? You're going to stand before God as well. You're going to stand before Jesus Christ and you're going to give account for everything you've done with your Christian life. Everything you've done with all the gifts and talents that God's given you. We are accountable people. We're responsible. We're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give account. Let's do something for God. Let's open up to God so He can do something with us. Don't live a chaff life. You know, the chaff was just empty. It was just a shell. When the wind came, it blew it away. Be the real thing. Be the real seed tonight. You might need forgiveness. You might need to be cleansed. Listen, you can have what you like. Heaven is open. The cross is open for business. Let's stand. Lord Jesus, we thank You tonight that we have something greater than religion in You. We thank You tonight that You are here to baptize us and fill us with divine love and power, with the Holy Spirit Himself. Holy Spirit, we worship You, our God. We need you, Lord, more than ever before. We deserve nothing and need everything. We come tonight on the blood of Jesus, on the merit of what he's done on the cross. We thank you that there's not a price to be paid because it's all been paid for us. But Lord, we want to receive tonight. We want to receive you. We need you. We want this rain that you want to give us. We want this fullness, this passion, this powerful Christianity, the real thing. If that's you tonight, quickly make your way to the front of this altar now. You know you want God. You want God. There's no ministry team tonight. If you're on the ministry team and you want God, you come quickly as well. Just come to the Lord. You're not coming to me. You're coming to the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Come right to the front so there's lots of space for people. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Lord, we want to receive you tonight. Come and receive the Holy Spirit. Come and be filled. Come and be affected. Come and meet Jesus tonight. Meet God. He's here. He's here. Don't look to us. Begin to pray. Begin to speak to Jesus. Ask. You shall receive.